scripture reading this evening is Psalm 40 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Psalm 40. Hear the life-giving word of God who has made us and redeems us. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And then from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless these words of His to our hearing tonight, that He might strengthen us and keep us in the holy faith. Our text this evening is the last two verses of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 16 and 17. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, "The Lord be magnified." But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, David wrote Psalm 40 by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. David prophesied of Christ in Psalm 40. The Lord says to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, "Therefore, when He," that is Christ, "came into the world, He said," and then we have a quotation from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In addition, Psalm 40, verses 9 through 10, is similar to the words of Jesus Christ in Psalm 22, verses 22 and 25. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, quotes these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Hebrews 2, verses 11 and 12, "For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, 'I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you.'" That is the general setting of Psalm 40. The particular setting of verses 16 and 17 is that they immediately follow verses 11 through 15, in which our Savior Jesus Christ prays, "O Lord, deliver me from all the terrible evils that have come upon me because I bear the sins of all the elect. And bring your just judgments upon the wicked and the ungodly who seek to destroy my life and who wish me evil." You and I who are joined to our Savior Jesus Christ by true faith, and who trust in Him for our salvation from sin and from the just wrath of God upon our sin, pray this same prayer as Jesus did. We pray that the Lord would deliver us from the evil of our own sins and our own iniquities that daily beset us, and that He would turn back and destroy all those who attack us as God's people and wish us evil because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner who has gone before us into heaven itself. After praying for God's truth to preserve him and for God's wrath to destroy all the wicked, in verse 17, verses 16 and 17, the Lord Jesus Christ turns from the curses of God upon sin to the blessings of God upon His people. The first petition in our text is in verse 16. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. The Hebrew text begins with this hortatory command in the first person plural. Let us rejoice and be glad in you, all those who seek you. God is never inconsistent with Himself. God always acts according to His own character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we see that God pours out His tender mercies on one of His children and preserves that one by His loving kindness and His truth from all the evils which surround him and the iniquities which overtake him, and when we see that God confounds and brings to shame and drives backward those who wish God's people evil and who seek to destroy the lives of the saints, what God has done for that one person should confirm our faith in the true and living God that He will deliver us and all of His children from all sin and from all evil in this life and in the life that is to come. God will destroy the ungodly. God will drive them backwards. We should apply the tender mercies and the loving kindness of the Lord to ourselves and to all the people of God. God will do these same things for all those who seek Him as He did for His own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not asking anything for Himself which God does not give to His whole church. In Psalm 40, verse 16, Jesus prays that God will give all of His people reason to rejoice. He prays that God will bring joy and gladness to the hearts of all God's people. He prays that all of the church of God will be assured of God's readiness and willingness and almighty power by which He will help them in their time of need. He prays that because of this assurance of God's help in time of need, all of God's people may seek the Lord with greater eagerness and with more earnest expectation and with bolder confidence. When God helps every individual child of His, God gives us another proof of His goodness. Who is the object of Jesus' petitions? In verse 16, Jesus does not pray for all men. He only prays for some people. Our Savior Jesus Christ said in His high priestly prayer in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me. For they are Yours, and all mine are Yours, and Yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Jesus Christ prays for those who believe that God the Father sent Him, that He came forth from the Father. He prays for those who have received Him as the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, as the great High Priest, who alone can atone for their sins. Jesus prays for those people whom God the Father has given to Him to save. Jesus prays for those people for whom He suffered and bled and died. In Psalm 40, verse 16, Jesus prays, "Let all those who seek You rejoice and be glad in You. Let such as love Your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.'" Jesus pleads with God the Father on behalf of those who seek God. Jesus is praying for those who are seeking something they do not have, but they know they need. Jesus prays for those in the pit, stuck in the miry clay. He prays for those who know they are destitute and wretched, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He prays for those who see how great their need is and who seek the Lord to fill that need. Jesus prays for those whose hearts long and desire for God, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He prays for those who seek the Lord with longing prayers of earnest affection. Prays for those who consistently run after the Lord rather than running after this world and after the flesh and after the devil. The wicked seek to destroy our lives, but the faithful seek God and His everlasting life. Let seeking souls take heart and be encouraged when they hear, "Jesus is praying for me." What riches of God's grace to me, an unworthy sinner, that my Lord and my Savior and my God, Jesus Christ, in His darkest and bitterest hour of agony and suffering, under the wrath and curse of God, in my place, should remember me and pray for the lambs of His flock. What a faithful shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "The Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." What does Jesus pray for us who diligently seek Him? He prays that we may rejoice. He prays that we may be doubly glad, intensely happy, emphatically joyful. Jesus prays that all those who seek the Lord with all their heart may be happy because they find in Him all that they seek and all that they need. He prays that they may have joy and peace through His grief and suffering on the cross in our place, as deep as our Savior's sorrows were. So high, Jesus prays that our joy might be. Jesus groaned and agonized that we might sing and rejoice in His great salvation. Jesus broke out into bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane as He contemplated the work of redemption that He must accomplish. And He did that in order that we might be anointed with the oil of gladness. We have every reason to be joyful because God delivers us from our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He will deliver us from all His and our enemies. He will turn them back. He will confound them who seek to destroy us. Jesus' second petition is also in verse 16. And it is also in the first person plural. "Let such as love Your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.'" I said the first person plural. I should have said the third person plural. "Let all those who seek You rejoice, and let such as love Your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.'" The Hebrew text reads, "Let them say continually, 'Be magnified, Yahweh, those who love Your salvation.'" Jesus prays that we who love God's salvation would say at all times and in all places, "Be magnified, Yahweh." That means that we should say continually and we should say everywhere, exalt yourself, O God. Glorify yourself, Lord. Show yourself to be great and mighty and glorious. Show your great grace to sinners. Reveal your love and your tender mercies and your loving kindness to sinners. Be all in all. This also means that we glorify God when we eat, when we drink, when we get up, when we sit down, when we lie down, when we work, when we play, when we go in, when we come out, when we walk by the way, when we worship the Lord, when we do anything, when we do everything. We do everything to the glory of God. We show forth His praise, His greatness, and His majesty. We show forth all His most excellent and glorious attributes in everything that we do. We sing the praise of God continually. We speak of His great works of creation and His marvelous works of providence and His gracious salvation to us and His just judgment. And we speak of it all the time. Our mouths never stop. And corporately we gather every week to praise and magnify the Lord. Another fruit of Jesus' death and resurrection is that God's people who are sinners saved by His grace through Jesus Christ promote the glory of God in all the earth and through every part of their lives. The wicked say to Christ and to His faithful people, "Aha, aha, we've caught you now." But the godly speak very differently. They say, "Be magnified, Yahweh." Those who love God's salvation because they hate sin and they love righteousness, they love the Lord and they love the truth, continually glorify the great name of the Lord in all the earth. And God wants you and me to do this. And that is why our Lord Jesus Christ prayed this petition. We should love Christ. We should love His great work of salvation with all of our hearts. And therefore we should proclaim the glory of our God with all of our mouth and with all of our breath to the very last. The glory of God shines so brightly in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, redeeming us poor, wretched, blind, and lost sinners. Never let the praise of the living God cease from your mouth and from your heart. Never stop glorifying your Savior and your Lord and your God. As your heart is warm with gladness because of God's great salvation, let your tongue and your mouth proclaim the praise of the Lord everywhere you go forever and ever. Pray and work for the spread of the gospel of Christ. Pray and work for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. Pray and work for the gathering of Christ's lambs, for the building up and strengthening of Christ's church, for the vigilance and the purity and the unity and the good works of every child of God who names the name of Jesus Christ. That's how God is glorified. That's how He is magnified. Make the glory of the triune God the chief purpose of every breath you take and every beat your heart makes. Our Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place to make us holy, to set us apart to God in righteousness and truth. That is the joy that God set before His only begotten Son. And the great reward of our Savior Jesus Christ, of His bitter suffering and His painful death, is that we, His people, bought with His precious blood, glorify God. We make Him great. Wonderful. Beautiful. By delighting in Him. And standing in awe of all that He does and thanking Him without end. Jesus prays for those who love God's salvation. We love God's salvation because it is the only salvation from our sins. Our faith is only proved to be genuine when we neither expect nor desire salvation or deliverance or preservation from any other person or any other thing in all of God's creation except from God alone. Those who devise various means and various ways of salvation from sin and deliverance from evil and preservation from every trouble and every trial are rejecting the salvation which God has provided. They are rejecting the salvation which God teaches us to expect from Him alone. Psalm 124 verse 8 says it so simply, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." If any person would trust only in the Lord for deliverance and help, and be saved only by God's grace to sinners through Jesus Christ, that person must renounce every vain hope of man and turn his heart and his mind and his life to seek the Lord and to love His salvation. There is salvation in no other than Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, and subduing the hearts and lives of people to Himself by the mighty power of His Holy Spirit as He reigns from heaven over all things for the good of His church. In Psalm 40 verse 17, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us more reasons to rejoice. "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." As the one who became sin for us, our Lord Jesus Christ plainly acknowledges, "I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me." This is true of every child of God. I'm poor and needy. I'm a sinner. I have nothing of any spiritual value. I'm bankrupt. I'm a helpless and lost person. I am needy. I need salve for my eyes so that I can see. I need gold refined in the fire. I need the white garments washed in the blood of Jesus Christ so that I am clothed in His perfect righteousness. I need repentance unto life worked in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I need faith given by God to trust in Him for salvation alone. I need the sacrifice of Christ on the cross in my place to pay for my sins. It is a miracle, a supernatural miracle, to bring people to feel and confess their spiritual poverty. Even though by nature we are naked and poor and miserable, we all say, "I'm rich and I'm increased with goods." We're poor and proud. And only the Holy Spirit, by God's marvelous grace, is able to open our eyes to see that we're blind and poor and wretched and miserable and naked. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us to see ourselves truly as God sees us, as the Scriptures reveal us to be. To have nothing is natural to us, but to confess that we have nothing is more than we will do until the Holy Spirit humbles us in the dust before Almighty God. The Spirit of God must take from us our beautiful garment we have made for ourselves, or else we shall never be content to be dressed in the fair white linen of the righteousness of Christ. What Paul the Apostle threw away as dross and as dung, we poor rag collectors prize, and we hoard it up as long as we possibly can. Only the Holy Spirit of God can teach us to say, "I am poor and needy." We have no righteousness. We have no merit. We have no hope in ourselves. The Spirit of the living God constrains us to fall flat on our faces before God and confess our inability to meet any of His claims. We have no comfort until by faith we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ as all our righteousness and all our salvation. At first, our father, Adam, had a great estate, but he soon lost it. He violated the trust on which he held his property from God, and God cast him out of the Garden of Eden to earn his bread as a day laborer by cultivating the ground from which he was made. Adam's oldest son was a vagabond, a convict on parole. We have not inherited any good thing by natural descent. As David says in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Our first parents were completely bankrupt. They left us nothing but a heritage of old debts and an inclination, a propensity to accumulate yet more debt to God. We are born into this world heirs of the wrath of God. And what is worse than being poor is that we have no strength to improve our condition. We're not able to change our fallen and sinful estate. Paul says Jesus Christ died for us when we were without strength. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." We're not even able to think a good thought. We're not able to lift our hearts toward heaven by ourselves. This is real poverty, spiritual poverty. And this is the condition into which every human being is born in this world until the Holy Spirit of God brings him into that estate of salvation and into communion with Christ and gives him all the riches of God's covenant of grace. I am poor and needy. That's my confession. Is that your confession? Do you clearly see that it is really so? The psalmist also says, "I am needy." We need everything. By nature, the sinner needs healing. He's sick unto death. He needs washing. He's foul with sin. He needs clothing. He's naked before God. He needs preserving after he has been saved. He needs the bread of heaven. He needs the water out of the rock, which is Jesus Christ. He is all needs and nothing but needs. And not one thing that your soul or my soul needs can any of us supply ourselves. We even need to be kept from the most common sins and need to be instructed in the first elements of the Christian faith. We need to be taught to walk in the ways of God's plain commandments. Otherwise, we won't do it. And brothers and sisters, we're needy all the time. We never wake up in the morning, but we need strength for the day. And we never go to bed at night, but we need the grace of God to cover our sins that we've already committed that day. We're needy in all the times and periods of our life. When we begin with Christ in our youth, we need to be kept from the folly and the lust that are so strong within us. And in middle age, our needs are even greater, lest the cares of this world should eat us up, drown out the faith in Christ that ought to be in our hearts. And in old age, we're still needy. And we need the preserving grace of the living God to keep us to the very end. You think it gets easy when you get old. But every old saint you ever talk to says it only gets harder. The marvelous promise in our text is that the Lord thinks upon me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit thinks upon me. He regarded you with the thoughts of boundless love before He even created the world. He thought about you and He still thinks about you. And when the Father thinks of His children, He thinks about you. When the great judge of all the earth thinks of the justified saints, He thinks of you. How precious His thoughts should be to to you. The sum of all God's thoughts is great. Let your gratitude and your thanks also be great. Son of God, to whom you owe your salvation and your hope, thinks of you. It was for you, an heir of heaven, that he took upon himself a mortal body and was born of Mary. It was for you that he lived those 30 years of sinless purity, that he might give you a robe of spotless righteousness and obedience. It was for you that he poured out bloody sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was thinking of you as he prayed for you in the garden. And all of the beating in Pilate's judgment hall, all the blasphemous accusations at the seat of the high priest Caiaphas, all the mocking before Herod was for you and me and for all whom he redeems. For you, the nails and the spear and the vinegar and the gall and the my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus thought of you, and he died for you with a direct goal of saving you, as though there had not been one other soul to be redeemed by his blood but yours. And now Jesus Christ is exalted on high, and he's reigning over all the world. And you're poor and needy, and he still thinks about you. He still loves you. He still is not distracted with all of his glory in his exaltation from his beloved children, from the lambs that he came to redeem. In love, he thinks of you. And when he prays, when he intercedes for you, he has your name written on his breastplate. In the presence of the Father, as your high priest. Do not forget the love of the Holy Spirit of God for you. We're so wonderfully indebted to him for it. He thinks about us. For he dwells in us. And he's promised to be with us even forever. It is his office to be our comforter, to help us in our infirmities, to pray for us according to the will of God. We all experience trials. Sometimes they're greater than at other times. And if you've been thinking about your trials lately so that you lie awake at night and mourning over the cares that weigh heavily upon you, and you think, I have no one to advise me, no one to help me, no one to sympathize with me, let this text in Psalm 40 come to you, whispering in your heart and in your ear, I am poor and needy. True. And I have no way or method to supply my own needs. But a mightier mind than mine, an infinite mind, is thinking of me. The infinite Jehovah, Yahweh, is thinking of me. And he sees all my circumstances. He knows the bitterness of my heart. He knows me through and through. And his thoughts about me are wise, tender, loving, gracious. His thoughts are wisdom itself, for he is wisdom. When I think, it is poor, little, weak, empty-headed. But when God thinks, the infinite mind which created the universe and upholds it is thinking of me. And not only is my God thinking of me, but the Lord is my help and my deliverer. We can pray with our Savior Jesus Christ, do not delay, O my God, to help me. And you who think you have unending riches, that you're wealthy in your own goodness, that makes you want to look down on most people around you because you're so respectable, so dignified, so deserving. Notice that this text does not say anything about you. You're not poor and you're not needy and you do not think upon the Lord and the Lord does not think upon you. Why should He? Those that are whole, those that are well, have no need of a physician. Christ did not come to call those that are well. He did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Did you know that it is your worst calamity that you have such a high view of your own goodness? You think, I see. I'm not blind. But you're the blindest of all. Even though you boast in your own righteousness, in that very self-righteousness of yours is the worst form of sin. For there's no sin that is greater than setting up your own works in competition with the work of Christ, with His righteousness, with His obedience. I testify to you this night that you may have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For you're ignorant of the righteousness of Christ, and you're trying to establish your own righteousness. And you know something? Your efforts will end in terrible disappointment. I pray that you will cast away all your reliance upon your own works. Tear up once and for all that you've been spinning all these years in your life, all your tears and all your prayers and all your church attendance and all your baptism and profession of faith and the sacraments that you have taken, all the good deeds that you have done. Get rid of all that rotten mass as the ground of any confidence. It's all quicksand, and it will swallow you up alive if you rest upon it. The only rock upon which you can build is the rock of the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Come and rest upon God's appointed Savior, who speaks to us tonight in Psalm 40. And even though you may not have felt your own poverty and your own need, if you mourn that you do not mourn over your sin as you should, you are poor and needy, and the Savior calls you to come to Him, to turn your eyes to the Lamb of God, who is able to cleanse your soul and renew your heart and make you one of His sheep. Oh, that all of us were poor and needy in ourselves, that we might be rich in faith toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be done with sin and with self-righteousness, and that we laid both of those traitors with their heads on the block for execution, to be put to death. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy bread and milk without money and without price. Come receive the bounty of heaven. Come receive repentance unto life and faith in Jesus Christ and every other heavenly gift from Jesus, who is the friend of sinners, exalted on high to give repentance and to forgive sins as our great high priest. But you must come empty-handed, for in no other way will God receive you. He fills the hungry with good things, but the rich He sends away with nothing. Come to Christ and drink of the living waters, for if you drink of Him, you shall never thirst again. Amen. Father, we pray tonight that you will show us how great our spiritual poverty is. Show us, Father, how great our need is, how needy we are, so that we might cling to Christ more, so that we might be thankful for His great work of redemption more, so that we might not boast in nor rest upon our own righteousnesses, nor our goodness, nor our faith, nor anything that we are or do apart from Christ. Father, we pray that we might be those who seek You, those who love Your salvation, and therefore who can rejoice and who can have confidence because Christ has redeemed us forever. Father, give us that joy. And may our hearts and our mouths and our lives say continually, "The Lord be magnified." We know, Father, that You are our help. You are our deliverer. The many trials and needs that we face, even tonight or this week, help us, we pray. Go with us. Deliver us. Be by our side. Do not delay. And Father, we confess that it is a miracle, a supernatural miracle, when any person comes to see and confess their own need, their own poverty. Work that miracle, we pray, in our loved ones who are outside of Christ, in our neighbors, in our co-workers, in friends and acquaintances, and in those to whom You cause us to give the gospel. Open their hearts to believe it and to rest in Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.